First reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 40, beginning at verse 1. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her. And she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades. And when the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up on a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice and with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep.
Thank you, Bob. Gospel reading is from the first chapter of Mark. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The wilderness and the way. The wilderness is very important in the Bible. Over and over again, we see the wilderness as the place of encounter with holiness, as the place that people cross through before they come to a deeper understanding, a more profound blessing, a deeper effectiveness as a servant of God. And think of it. Abraham, through the wilderness. Jacob, through the wilderness. Moses, Elijah, David, all have their wilderness experiences. The very Israelite people would be carried through the wilderness to Babylon, much like Moses carried them from Egypt to the Promised Land. There's something in the wilderness that can make a profound spiritual difference in our lives. It seems obvious that that's the case. Now, it's known from the Gospel of Luke that Zechariah and Elizabeth, John the Baptist's parents, were of advanced age when they became with child, when they became pregnant with John. And so John the Baptist was born to something close to elderly parents. It was considered a miracle that Elizabeth could get pregnant at all. And chances are very good that he was orphaned at an early age. Most scholars, most researchers believe that he probably was orphaned at an early age. And this is interesting because there was one sect of Judaism called the Essenes. And the Essenes were out in caves, out in the desert, out in the wilderness, where they tried to keep their faith pure as they could. They studied the scriptures, and they prayed without ceasing. And every once in a while, the Essenes would come into the local towns, and they'd scoop up all the orphan children and take them back to their wilderness camps to raise them as their own. It was a wonderful thing to do in those days, because a young orphan without any family, it would not end well for them. There was no social structure to take care of them outside of family itself. So there's a very good chance that John the Baptist was raised in the wilderness. And in this wilderness, he learned, well, a hard scrabble life. How to scrape an existence out of the desert. How to sustain yourself enough. How to rely on your faith and each other. And so, from this wilderness experiences of his own, he came forward, probably lacking in some of the social graces, I'm thinking, dressed in camel's hair and eating bugs and wild honey. Or maybe it was locust plant, I don't know. But he came with a message. And he came with this message to both the afflicted and the comfortable, both the faithless and the profoundly, devoutly religious. And he came with this message that God has come with over and over again. And it is simply, repent. Change your ways. Pay attention. And John's message, knowing that it was his cousin, Jesus, who was the coming Messiah. When John came to these people, he said, the Messiah is already among you, and you just don't realize it. What a wonderful message that was. Now remember, he's talking to people in an occupied nation. He's talking to folks under Rome's thumb. I mean, there are garrisons camping out up and down the street. They'd come and seize your home in a heartbeat if they thought strategically it'd be a good place for them to set up camp. They gave marching orders to the priests who served at their whim. They gave marching orders to everybody. And he comes to these people, locked in conflict, locked in chaos, locked in deep, profound disappointment and disillusionment. And he says, guess what? Your Messiah is already here. Your Messiah is already here. Now, I think about that all the time, because for us, the Messiah has been here for 2,000 years. And he's still among us. He's already here. Much like John's message. Your Messiah is already here. And I think about our modern wildernesses. And they are many. They are many. I think about, a few people who I won't mention names, who have discovered their Messiah is already here. And one gentleman who called me all excited a couple weeks ago, because someone he had discovered had ripped him off terribly, destroyed his business, and ruined his life. And he called me in joy, because, unlike the old person he was before God found him, the new person he was didn't go over and beat the snot out of the guy. In fact, avoided him, called the authorities and left it in their hands, and knew, with my temper, I'll only get into trouble. I'm not going near this guy. And he was rejoicing on the phone to me. This guy had been ruined financially. And he was rejoicing on the phone with me. Corey, This isn't who I had ever been. I would be in jail right now. And I know that this man knew he could make me crazy. And he was trying to get me to do something stupid. But I'm not stupid anymore. I'm not careless with my life anymore. In his wilderness, the Messiah was already there. Somebody, I don't know who, this very morning, when Judy Ann opened the door back there, somebody had left a sack of coins and a $5 bill and a $1 piece from 1882. Put it right on the top to make sure we'd see it. And I'm thinking out there somewhere is somebody who realized that Christ was already with him or her. There's someone out there who didn't want to be known. Maybe read about, could write a lot of things about West Bloomfield this week. Read about the shanty town that went so well in our parking lot, or read about the Thanksgiving meal that went so well and thought, this is a church that'll do something good with this money, and set it on our doorstep, not wanting to be known, but set it there. And in the chaos of their life, perhaps they recognize that Christ is already among them. Perhaps. I'm thinking of, name your form of chaos. I'm thinking of a teacher I know who is capable of dealing with the hardest cases and finds a time in quiet reflection time to know that they can't help the way they are, but are reacting to situations that build in their life. And I'm thinking of all of you and how in your life there are people who are in the midst of chaos and you try to reach out and come to them. And I'm thinking of all of you and so many of you who have gone through times of grief and incredible hardship. Or maybe you're going through those times right now. And how the Spirit shines in you. How remarkable things have happened as a result of your walking your path of grief. Dave, I'm thinking of you and Susan right now. And Bob and your whole family and others as well. And Claudia. And how we almost have to go through these horrible experiences of grief, because somehow through those experiences, through those wilderness times, we find out just how close God can be to us and just how much God can carry us through and just how much heartache and loneliness and disappointment we can bear with God walking with us. God's peace, it seems to me, is not something out there or up in the skies or coming on the clouds with the angels. God's peace is something that's already been planted in us and simply needs to be teased and cajoled and cracked and pulled out. The message of John the Baptist of repent, repent, your Messiah is already with you, is so appropriate today. The Messiah is already with you and me. In our difficulties, in our hardships, in our disappointments, the Messiah is already right there with us. And saying, peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid, but believe in me and follow. Peace of God is a constancy in our lives. It's there right now. I don't care how distracted you are. It's there right now, and it's always there. It's always there. We just sometimes lose sight of it in the chaos, but it is constant in its presence with us. God's peace. Just like the silence is always there, but sometimes covered up by the noise, the peace is always there, but sometimes covered up by the chaos. So in this Sunday of peace, as we prepare to come to Christ's own table together as brothers and sisters, let's recognize this. The Messiah is already with you. The Messiah is sitting right there next to you. The Messiah is right there in your heart. When you say or do that thing you know you shouldn't, the Messiah hears it too. And when you cry out in sadness, in despair, in anger, the Messiah hears that too. And that peace that you need, that peace that you so want, that peace that you so desire, you've already got it. You just need to open your eyes and open your heart and let it come out of you. Amen.